Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom. And still funny.
And this is a podcast where we talk about our opinions about our favorite TV shows and movies and share them very loudly and with drinks.
Yes!
And today we'll be talking about Bridgerton Season 1, Episode 7,
Oceans Apart. So we're pairing this episode because it is, again, one of those very, darkly emotional kinds of episodes.
Instead of daddy issues, it's marital issues right now.
Right, exactly. So we're pairing them with different things. I decided to do a variation on the porn star martini that I did last time, which is called a peat star martini. It is supposed to have peated whiskey, lemon juice, simple syrup, pineapple juice, passion fruit juice, and sparkling wine. Wow. I didn't have peated whiskey.
That's the most important part.
I had Jameson's Irish whiskey, which has that kind of smoky flavor too, although I've had this with peated whiskey and it's really quite good. Any kind of whiskey will work. It's like a whiskey sour a little bit, but it has lots of other cool sounding ingredients in it. And what do you have? What's our YA today?
Yes, and again, if you don't know what YA is, get updated. Anyway, the modification, the non-alcoholic choice, I guess, that I chose was it was another tea, but it's different. It's slightly different. It's iced tea. Like, it's meant to, it's like cold brewed iced tea mixed berry, because I have mixed feelings about this episode, and also it's everyone's ice cold. So that's what I got.
It's a good choice, but I will say that maybe in season two we might look at like virgin cocktails or something as like an alternative. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that, but like I feel like this was just too good to pass up right now, because it really does encapsulate my feelings towards this episode.
It's cold and it's mixed, man.
I swear I will get a little bit more imaginative than just tea with a interesting title for next season. Hopefully we'll see if Natalie evolves. We'll see.
Just like our characters, including Antony. So
yeah,
right.
Anyway, so
do we want to
have, well, we have a couple
caveats. Yeah,
well, we have a couple disclaimers. First, this is not spoiler free by any means. We're going to try to keep it contained to this season and not spoil anything for next season. It's not guaranteed, but we're going to try. We will be cursing, and there are some explicit
explicit in this one, but the last, heard the last episode, okay.
No, there's a topic later on in this episode with a certain character that is a little bit controversial, and so just be aware if you are
sensitive
towards certain topics. Well, I don't want to, well, we're already going to spoil it. If you're sensitive towards the topic of abortion and that kind of stuff, just maybe...
All the things.
Yeah, maybe skip either this episode or the part of this episode
that deals
when we
with
get
that.
To it.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. So is there a synopsis to this one?
There is.
Yay, Netflix.
Love those Netflix synopses. Anyway, all right. Amid accusations of lies and betrayal, a rift forms between the newlyweds, while a deception of another kind could besmirch the Bridgerton family name. They love throwing in random vocab words just to make
besmirch
them sound...
Besmirch is a good word!
I'm not saying... It's not even besmirch that, like it's like a Twitter, or like a random-ass word that doesn't need to be in there, and it always throws me off, and I blame them.
Well, okay.
Anyway, let's get into Season 1, Episode 7, Oceans Apart. All right.
So it starts with Daphne playing the piano, and she's like kind of violently playing the piano, like very
angsty.
And of course, I actually was at one point in time a musician. I can relate to that on some level.
You would just go into your room and just like, she used to play the flute and just like really just go crazy on the flute.
Yeah, but the way Daphne is playing, and I will say this, the actress has evolved in her fake piano. This is really pretty good.
We all know what's going on. It's not that you can tell that it's different hands, but you can tell because of the cuts that they do, it's obvious. Like, they never show her in the full shot doing it, so it's obvious.
Right, but let's face it, she does a better job faking it in this scene than she had done in some of the earlier ones.
Yeah, and much like Sienna, it's not like she's actually doing the thing that it seems like she's doing, but she's emoting well enough to make you be like, yeah, it's still a good emotional performance. So, while she's angrily and angstily playing the piano, as one does, because whenever you have marital problems, you go straight for the instruments.
Well, right, and so Simon goes for an instrument. His is actually a weapon in this case.
It's a gun.
It's a
and
gun.
And he's shooting pigeons.
Right, so he's loudly shooting pigeons, and she's loudly playing the piano.
But here's the thing, like, what she does makes no sense to me, because she's in, like, the parlor, there are glass French doors.
Makes sense.
Well, let me explain. So she's in the parlor, there are French doors leading out into the, like, lawn, I guess. They have so much space, I don't even know.
Clive is huge and gorgeous.
Either way.
The grounds are, definitely.
Anyway, so Simon is shooting his pigeons, and
real ones.
Thank you, Mom. Anyway, so he's shooting the pigeons, and he's being loud and kind of interrupts her train of thought, so she stops. And instead of just kind of, like, moving on or, like, moving out of the way, she opens the door. Now, I understand why she's being petty, and I get it, and I love it. However, that just makes it louder for both of them. Like,
well,
it makes
right.
I know it makes it louder for him, but it also is making it so much more loud for her. And, like, I feel like that, me personally, it would just break my focus even more. And I'd just be like, I want to be petty, but I would just play louder in with the doors closed and annoy him a little bit more.
No, it wouldn't annoy him because he can't hear it at all. She has to open the door so he can hear it, and it throws off his rhythm. So, and it does. And
it
so,
throws him off his rhythm.
It does. It throws him off his rhythm. And so, you know, they're both, like, pissed at each other, and they just keep glaring over their shoulders, and, you know, she's playing more, and she actually finishes the piece and does a good job. Well, I mean, whoever's actually playing finishes the piece and does a good job.
And I love that Rose is, like, in the corner watching her, just concerned.
Yeah, like, Rose is kind of like, should I intervene? Is
this... I also wrote down, before we move on from the playing piano and being angsty or whatever, did you name that one Daphne? Is it fuck you? Or, like...
Yeah, it's like, this one is go to hell, just Simon, or something like that.
I wonder who it's about.
I can't imagine.
So, do you have anything else for that part?
No.
Then they go to dinner where they are eating apart again.
Right, but this time, like, you know, at the beginning of their honeymoon, when they first get to Clive, and, you know, Simon is anxious for her to move closer. Mm-hmm. Now they're in the big dining room and at opposite ends of the table, and they're both
oceans
like,
apart.
Oceans apart, right? But they aren't even having conversation. They're talking to the servants about each other in the third person.
Yeah, because they have to have the middle people and the poor servant. Like,
could you tell his grace?
Blah 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 blah. And then he's like, he starts. I think Simon starts talking directly to Daphne for a second, and then the servant's like, well, do you want me to send that message to her, or, like, what do you want me to do?
Right.
And I'm just like, this poor guy has to be in the middle of this.
Well, the subject of the conversation is that Daphne has decided that she is going to move her things out of their joint bedroom into the Duchess's bedroom.
Simon doesn't want that.
Right, and he's like, inform her grace that that is not allowed. And it's kind of like, okay, like, what is the point of this?
You're literally in the same room. Like, it's one thing if you're in separate rooms and on your big estate or whatever, and you just had people walking back and forth, which I'm sure they're also doing, but, like, at the same dinner table, it's even worse.
Well, right, so they start, and the very cutting remarks, and they're both articulate speakers. So
yeah, they're both very good speakers.
So they both talk about, you know, lies and deception and so on and so forth. And Daphne's like, look, you know, it is common practice when the honeymoon is over for the wife to move into her own bedroom. And obviously the honeymoon's over because she's so angry.
Well, then they're interrupted.
Well, right, now, hang on,
hang on.
There's one more point that I wanted to make with this, because Simon's kind of like, well, you need to let me know if your conjugal efforts have produced anything. And she's like, I would never dream of concealing such important matters. Like, unlike you, asshole.
Yeah, like, he makes it seem like he doesn't want her to move out of the room because he wants to make sure she's not pregnant.
Right.
Like, he makes it seem like that's the only reason. I'm like, dude, you know the reason, and you know it's not that.
Well, right, but then he won't freaking say it.
He hasn't even told her why.
Right.
They haven't even had that conversation through servants. Like, nobody's telling anybody anything.
Yeah, communication problems tend to be one of the largest issues.
And it pisses me off.
Right.
It would be the shortest rom-com ever.
Damn it. Hey, you got a problem? Okay, let's talk.
Let's go to counseling if it gets really bad. Like, I mean, it's just like, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're interrupted and someone brings in the newest Whistledown, which has the news about Colin and Marina, and Daphne's like, oh my gosh, all right, pack at once, we're leaving, or I'm leaving. And then Simon's like, all right, I insist on coming with you. It's like, you don't have to do that.
Well, right, I called this the Lydia situation. Yeah, comparing it
Lydia
to
Lydia has run away with Mr. Wickham.
Oh no, I mean, this isn't like the tearful whatever. It's basically Colin got out of a bad situation, but
yeah,
it is still scandalous.
Yeah.
And you essentially, it's almost like Daphne's, like, looking for a reason to go. It's like, good,
no, yeah, she's very thankful for this. Like, not that it happened, but something to get her out of Cliveden.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so then we go back to London, unless you have anything else at Cliveden.
No, I mean, then we have the title sequence, and the tree is moving a lot in the title sequence this time, and I kind of saw that as, like,
windy. You
know, well, I keep having, because it is May here right now, like, the rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, that whole...
Oh, my God.
Hey, I don't do poetry much, and that's pretty good for me.
So you quoted the most basic sonnet ever?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, fair enough, it is a good sonnet. It's just,
you know, it just... Just struck me that, like, you've got this storm situation, storm's coming kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they cut back to London.
And you see Colin in his bed crying, and it makes me, it breaks my heart.
Well, right, and it is really sad. There's...
You poor naive boy.
Right, so there's one of these montages, and they do montages a fair bit in the show.
Yeah.
But it is useful to move the plot forward, and especially the subplots forward, because...
Yeah.
There are so many subplots.
Yeah, and you see Violet and Eloise leaving. They're going to the Modiste, we find out later on. They're going to the Modiste, but they also see across the way Marina and Lady Featherington leaving. And initially, before they explained it, I was like, I'm surprised Lady Featherington is taking out Marina now. Because, like, Marina was, like, confined to the house for so long at the very beginning of her pregnancy and wasn't allowed to do anything, even though she looked normal or whatever. But then, like, as soon as the scandal hits, she's, like, taken outside and everyone can see her. No cloak or anything. It's just like, girl.
No Red Riding Hood.
Like, what are you doing?
Whatever. Yeah. So they kind of cross paths. And Violet is livid.
Oh, I don't
Because she
her.
Knows. I don't either. It's like, okay, first of all, you've done all these, you know, basically awful things to try to undermine my family generally. I mean, you know, she does not like the Featheringtons.
No.
But then it's, you went after my very vulnerable sweet boy.
Yeah.
And
you went after my baby boy.
You went after my baby boy, and, you know, because he is such a nice guy. And that's just so
right. They took advantage of him.
Right. And Lady Featherington knows.
Oh, yeah. No, Violet knows.
All along.
Like, later on, like, we'll get there, actually. I want to save that rant for later. But, like... She knows Lady Featherington is very underhanded, and, like, she will do whatever it takes to get her family ahead. And
right.
So it's no shock to Violet that this was a ruse, but
it
she's so
yeah.
So mad, and I don't blame her.
Right. So they're there at the Modiste, and...
people are looking.
Right, and Eloise is, like... going through this kind of rant about trying to get out of her debut.
We should probably, like, delay this a few years. Like,
right, because we've got scandal going on, and
Violet says, stay smiling, Eloise.
Yeah,
please,
people
just...
are looking at you. Stop it.
And they're getting dresses for Eloise's debut, which Eloise does not want.
Right, and so she's like, well, and it's not even just her debut. So apparently back in the day, as women... you know, reached maturity or whatever, they had to have their hems lowered for all of their dresses. So,
well, no, yeah, they already did the hems, though. She's getting a new dress, though.
Right, she's getting a dress for her debut, her actual debut.
Yeah. She's already gotten the hems lowered. That was earlier in the
season. Right. And so Eloise starts, you know, like ranting about Lady Whistledown and blah, blah, blah. And then she says something that I found interesting. She's like, if Whistledown can destroy a reputation, she can rebuild one too.
She wants to help Penelope rebuild her reputation because Penelope didn't do anything wrong. Prudence and Philippa technically didn't do anything wrong. They shouldn't be, like, punished for whatever Marina was doing with Lady Featherington.
Right, right. Except that they, you know, unfortunately.
Well, her intentions are good.
Right. No, oh, definitely Eloise's intentions are good.
She's finally proving herself as a good best friend,
right,
I think.
Right, finally.
And she has a reason to search for Whistledown more now because she wants to help her friend.
Right.
And I feel like that's a better reason than, I just kind of want to prove I'm smart and figure things out for myself. And it's just like, this gives her more of a motivation for it, and I like it better.
Absolutely. And then we cut to Lady Featherington takes Marina to basically a charity ward.
Yeah.
To, you know, see, like, hey, can she have her baby here? Blah, blah, blah.
Can you take her in?
Can you take her in? And even the charity ward's like, you've got to have big bucks for this.
Yeah.
You know, you just, we don't take just anybody. And Marina's finally is hitting her like, oh, shit.
This is, I'm ruined. Even the charity ward isn't taking me.
Right, exactly. And it's kind of like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And
not
so,
great.
Yeah, so later that night, Daphne and Simon show up in their carriage.
The biggest carriage that they have, according to Daphne, because right. She wanted her space.
Right.
So petty. I get it, but it's so petty.
Oh, God, when angry, I can be totally petty.
Oh, no, I can be so petty. It's great, but like, it's just really, it's so uncomfortable to watch.
Right. So they pull up, and Simon is, like, basically kind of, like, it's almost like he's being overprotective of her she feels it's a negative way.
Yeah.
And I can see that she's
just she's seeing everything he does in a negative way.
Well, she's
now.
Right. She's so angry. She just doesn't want to be around him. She's just spent however long in a carriage with him.
But he kind of wants to, she's about to go into the house and then Simon's about to follow her in because, I mean, like, that's what you do. You stick together as a couple. Like, it's what normal people do.
It is logical. But Daphne's pissed. And so she's like, oh, you don't have to, you know, follow me into the house. It's not like I'm suddenly going to, like, get my courses or something, you know, like, in this 5 seconds I'm in the house.
I'm not going to find out I'm pregnant now in an hour. And then she closes the door on
his face, basically. It's like, wow.
Damn,
okay,
girl.
Yeah. Okay. And they go inside, and all of the brothers are kind of like, hey, Daphne, why aren't you on your honeymoon? You know,
and it's so
bros.
Uncomfortable for Dubois.
Dubois.
the Bridgerton boys.
Right. And so she's kind of like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine.
All smiles.
Everything's good. They start talking about how she can be a distraction.
Because Colin wants to see Marina.
Right. But, you know, Daphne is like, look, my being here. And actually, Violet starts it. She's like, look, having Daphne here because she's the Duchess.
Having the Duke and Duchess on our side will be so helpful.
Right.
Not only as a distraction, but as, like,
just a societal thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so Daphne points out that a mention Whistledown or having Whistledown focus on them
mm-hmm.
will, like, basically lure ignorant people into submission. Like, oh, hey, it's all about them. It's not about, like, the god-awful mess with Colin.
Yeah, and then Colin's getting upset, and he's just like, he literally says, it's been settled on my behalf, and I'm like, yeah, no shit, this is awful stuff happening with you, and, like, this whole scandal, don't you want this?
Right, exactly, don't you want a little relief from
like
all
then,
this?
Then if you go to see Marina, it won't be talked about as much. Like, I mean, do you want to be, like, ridiculed for the rest of your life about, like, falling for this? Like, because people will ridicule you for that.
Right.
Or think you're in on it. It's like, or it's your child, or whatever. It's gonna, like, so much gossip can, like, just come
right.
up.
Right, right. It's all can get twisted, and already, you know, is getting twisted. And Colin, I think part of the problem is that Colin thinks he's above it somehow. Like, oh, I'm a Bridgerton bro. These things don't affect us. Because, you know, look, Anthony gets to do whatever he wants. Benedict's doing whatever he wants.
Well, who knows where I feel like Benedict just wanders off and no one cares. And no one asks about it.
Oh,
and it's just like,
Benedict.
And he's just like wandering off. Well, it's worse with Francesca.
Okay, like, Francesca is like banished. Gone. She's banished. That's different. That's deliberate as opposed to accidental. Oh, negligent. Hey, there's a kid missing. Which, you know, can happen when you have 8 children.
I'm sure. But
so, yeah.
So he rushes off or whatever, and Daphne goes to him.
Right. And I want to point out, too, in the books, the way it's described is that Daphne and Colin are very close.
I can see that.
Right. I can see that, too, but it's not really discussed.
Well, I mean, like, to be fair, like, they're the closest in age to each other. Well, Eloise is younger, but, like, the old, like, Colin's slightly older than Daphne, but, like, they are the closest other than, well, and we see the Daphne and Eloise thing in their relationship, so I would see them having a closer relationship.
Right. So they're supposed to be, like, very close, and so Daphne kind of goes to Colin, and she's like, look, you know, you'll be happy to learn, aren't you happy you learned Marina's secrets before your wedding day? I mean, you know, and she's very pointed for her, because she's like, before your wedding day, unlike me, I find out that my husband has all these fucking secrets after.
All right, here's the thing. I noticed, especially in this episode, that, like, whenever one of the siblings, especially Antony and Daphne, whenever they're talking to Colin in this episode, they're always just like venting all of their frustrations about their relationships or lack thereof, like, to him, by disguising it as telling him, hey, aren't you glad this isn't happening to you, and him just not being like aware of what's going on, and they just need someone to talk to.
Well, it's a little interesting because Colin, I think, picks up on Antony a little bit faster than Daphne.
He asks. He does ask.
Does he? In this? Okay.
Well. No, he does. Well, first I put, he was talking about, like, oh, I think I was in love with her or whatever. I feel like I believed I was in love with her, that kind of stuff. And I was just like, Colin, sweetie, I know you've got the hots for Marina, but she destroyed you.
Right.
Like, you are done.
He compares himself to, you know, these old romantic heroes like Leander and whatever. And it's kind of like,
yeah, it's a whole thing. And then they're so dramatic. But then he notices, like, after Daphne was just like, shouldn't you be glad you figured out, like, before your marriage or whatever, and then he's just like, is everything okay in Cliveden? And then she's just like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, like, changing the subject. Yeah, like a liar. Changing the subject, she's like, I can arrange a chaperone rendezvous with you
and Marina, and
Colin's like, look, I'll prove to you that it was really love. And she's like,
yeah, sure. All right. Well, I'm gonna be there anyway, so we'll see.
Yeah, but she already knows.
I mean, she knows. All right, and then we've got boxing. Shirtless number 13.
And let me tell you again, I love the relationship between Simon and Will.
It's, like, fantastic.
So much.
It's so good.
And so they're talking, and again, Will is just after him. So, you know, why are you here? Aren't you still on your honeymoon? What's wrong with you?
And like, Simon's kind of lying to him, and I was like, don't lie to Will. He knows more than you.
The way it's phrased is hilarious. He's like, well, nothing happened on the honeymoon, and Will's response is, I think your wife should be upset about this. I love you, people.
Will is the best.
You are so great.
I don't have anything else about the boxing.
No. So Daphne is still up. She can't sleep.
And Simon comes back a little bit late, and she's just like, well, we have the Queen's luncheon tomorrow. We have to make an appearance, whatever. I got us an invitation. And then she's like, should I be concerned that you're coming back so late at night? Like, she's concerned that he's cheating on her. Because, like, he can't, it's obviously, to her, she doesn't think that she's satisfying him enough. And, that's a valid fear.
I mean, you know, he's, now that they,
considering he doesn't
trust her. Right.
And doesn't trust her.
He doesn't trust her sexually, and so she's like, oh, great, now he's gonna go just catting around doing whatever, like, he did before. Like,
he's gonna go all the way with those girls, but no, not with me. I'm his wife, but no, he's not gonna go all the way with me.
Right.
And
so she says something about, like, well, there's basically nothing left in our marriage. If this
empty.
Is the way it's gonna be, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and it's just so, it's hot. I'm sorry.
It's
like
such a romance novel thing.
Is that what you believe?
And then they start having an angry makeout session, as I put in my notes.
Yes.
Then they have sex number 13.
Oh, yes, that would be harsh. Well,
I call it sex.
Yeah, it is. So,
but the thing is, for me, even when I first watched this, I was so angry that they had it on the concrete stairs. How uncomfortable is that?
Well, I mean, but the thing is, they will do it anywhere. And of course, yeah, that's kind of this whole first season. It's like people who are like passionately whatever and do it anywhere. Yeah. And so, but one of the things I really like about this is that Simon starts the kissing. Simon is initiating all this stuff. And Daphne is like, wow, this is great. And yeah. She's like, why don't we go to the bedroom? And he says, no. It's like, okay, what the fuck, dude?
I was so angry. So here's the thing. So he again, like you said, he initiates. He wants this to happen. He's the one who's doing all this work in this part of, like, this kind of sex. And so he's doing all of it. He's initiating everything. And then when she suggests, well, hey, how about I do something for you? Let's go to the bedroom. He's just like, no, all right. And then he says, oh, my God, this speech he has is so annoying.
Oh my God.
Says that if she's pregnant, he will do his duty. Like, it's a problem. And then if she's not pregnant, they will be married in name alone, and they will be basically separated.
Right. We will have separate lives if she's not pregnant, essentially.
After he did all of that on the concrete stairs, he's just like, no.
So my note is,
You have to wonder if he was just trying, like, this is going to sound disgusting, and I love that you said, but you have to wonder, like, if he was just trying to suck the baby out at some point.
Oh, so
I know it's gross, but what is wrong with him?
Like,
I feel like that's the twisted logic.
I realize you don't know. It doesn't work.
It does not work that way. I realize that, but
good,
like,
to know.
I don't know if he realizes that.
Good.
They're all so oblivious to everything, but I feel like he just wanted to, like, prevent her from being pregnant even more by doing that kind of stuff.
Right, but it's so...
What has to question his motives when he does bullshit like this? Well, like, right, that's my question.
These speeches are just... Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I was so disgusted with a lot of the things that went on with Simon and his lack of growth or his confusion. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's one of those things where he's so dishonest with himself. And, you know, again, I think that it all goes back to daddy issues, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, you're a freaking adult, dude.
Well, he was able to move past a speech impediment. I think he could do this.
Yeah, exactly. So...
You've proven yourself capable of working through something that was very difficult for you. I think you can do this as well. To save your marriage with the person that you obviously love.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is your problem? And you're the one initiating, like, oh yeah, if you're not pregnant, we're just not going to be married. Basically, only in name alone. Like, I don't want anything to do with you. You don't want anything to do with her? You're basically only going to be, like, married... Before she found out about this, you're basically just going to, like, do whatever, have fun...
Yeah.
And do that kind of stuff. You can have an agreement with that if you talk to her about it and be like, hey, we can still be in
love.
But
it's like, oh, I don't trust you now. I mean, come on.
I mean, I wouldn't agree to it, and I don't think Daphne would either, but at least you could, like, be like, hey, we can still love each other like we know we do, and we can still have these hot makeout sessions or whatever, but...
Right, you could try to bargain the dances or something. Bargain the sex here, come on.
Something! You could do anything. You could make a compromise.
Right,
and
you could actually have sex like a normal person.
Or you could just tell her the damn reason why you don't want kids.
Right.
He still hasn't told her.
Right, which is just...
It makes me so angry.
It's awful. So we move on to Marina coming to Daphne's house, to Hastings' house or whatever
Hastings'
it is.
House.
And to meet with Colin.
Yeah, and she's wearing the hood now because she doesn't want to be seen, and that makes her invisible.
No, it just not as orange. I don't think that's working.
Anyway, I love that Daphne just has a reading book while they just sort out their issues, and she's just reading in the corner. Like, she's obviously paying attention to what they're doing, but she's acting like she's just reading in the corner.
Yeah, I'm not paying attention. But then, you know, this whole conversation, Marina is like, well, I hold you in great esteem.
And he's just like, great esteem?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved you.
Yeah, it's like, that's it?
And the thing is, like, he's just like, please tell me this isn't true. And she's like, it is. And he's just like, what the fuck? And then towards the end...
But she gets indignant. And this makes me mad. She's like, I didn't come to be shamed by you. It's like, girlfriend.
What? You should be shamed. You should be ashamed of yourself. He is a kind man, and he was not going to reprimand you about that. He's not even doing that now. He's just, like, angry because you lied to him. I feel like that's the reason he's angry. He's
right,
not shaming
but he
you.
He even says that. Like, he stands up to her, and he says, he's like, you chose me. You lied to me. You tried to trick me into a fraud of a marriage.
Yeah, and she's just like, this is what my note says. Marina needed to wed, and he would have made her the most happy. And he's just like, so I should be happy you tricked me? And I'm like, Colin, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, how is he supposed to feel? And Marina doesn't give a shit because she was too self-absorbed and, like, thinking about, oh, this is just going to save me. It's going to be fine. I'm just doing self-preservation bullshit. And she didn't even think about what a nice man you're, like, pulling into this sham of a marriage.
He is just an object to her. Which
is insulting.
Right. And, yeah,
and she's expecting him to feel sorry for her.
Well, it's such an interesting thing.
Which he does,
but
still.
She's so deeply offended that she's being treated like an object, which she has every right to be.
No, absolutely. That's a conversation that happens later.
Right. But then she treats him that way.
She tries
and
to turn the tables on the wrong
better.
Person.
Right. Well, you've got to be better than that, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point. You need to act better than this bullshit.
Like the superficial crap.
You and Simon need to get into, like, therapy and talk about this kind of shit.
Right.
Because it's ridiculous. And I feel so bad for Colin because Colin's just like, I believe that I loved you. And then he literally says, if Marina had come to Colin and told him the truth, then he would have still married her because he's an honorable man.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have let her just be thrown to the streets and just be ridiculed like she would have if she wasn't married and she had the baby. And he would have been there for her. Like,
right.
He really, that's how nice of a person he is. And that's his parting words to her. And she's like crying. I'm like, yeah, bitch, cry. Because
yeah,
this is
go
ridiculous.
Ahead. Yeah.
And she's just, and like, he's such a sweet person, and we all knew that he would have helped her and provided
right.
for her and been a nice person, even if, like, if she had just been upfront with him about, this is the situation I'm in, I want to give you all of, like, the information. See, this is what we need
honesty.
People to just be honest before
yeah.
they get engaged or married. Just be honest.
Surprise!
Well,
surprise.
Obviously some of these are rushed marriage proposals and
yeah.
duels
okay.
and shit, but, like, still.
Right. So then we move on to luncheon with the queen. And I love... Okay, so the Bridgertons showed up to this without Francesca.
Yeah.
But they...
Well, she's still in Bath.
Please. But they show up and it's like a garden luncheon thing.
But the garden's gorgeous.
It is, of course, it's gorgeous.
And so Violet's like, isn't this nice, all of us together again? And then Colin's like, we should scandal more often.
Yeah, and it's like...
I love it.
The sarcasm.
So
oh,
funny.
My gosh. And, you know, it was one of the things that your dad, my husband, noticed is that
yeah.
the clothes for Simon and Daphne in this, and he sees it a little bit differently, and I think there are a lot of ways to interpret the clothing colors that are chosen, the clothing fabrics, the styles even.
I just wrote down more dull color palette for Daphne and Simon.
So it's almost like, you know, a lot of what they wear in this episode tend to be darker colors. Like, Daphne wears this dark teal that I absolutely love, and I want to dress in that color.
Mm.
I think it would look good on me.
Great.
But,
thanks,
yeah,
Mom. That's
yeah,
helpful.
I know. Isn't that helpful? but a lot of the other colors are either dark or they're gray or gray to purple, like heathered in some way. And,
like they're in half mourning?
Right, like they're in half mourning because, you know, like we're in mourning for our marriage. Like, I've said this before, like people used to, I wear black a lot, and they'll be like, why are you wearing black so much? Just like, I'm in mourning for my lost youth.
Wow,
know, it's
that's
a thing.
Dark. I don't know if you ever told me that,
because yeah.
you reprimand me for wearing a lot of black.
Whatever.
But you just call me goth, so it's fine.
Okay.
Anyway.
It all works out. anyway, so... Then,
the queen basically just wants Daphne to have a baby.
Well, now, hang on. There's a bunch of, not banter, but there's discussion between Daphne and Simon. And they're talking
yeah.
about, you know, they're having these veiled discussions about, like, they're lying and blah, blah, blah. And so,
because that's all they do now.
Right. So the queen comes up and she's like, hey, have a baby, blah, blah, blah.
Hey,
and,
just like, have a baby. Go.
And so they both, you know, Simon's like, oh, yeah, we're working on it. And Daphne's kind of like, wow, you lie really easily.
And it's like, I learned from the best. And I'm like, bitch.
Well, and Violet sees it. And she's
oh,
like,
Violet notices.
She's like, holy shit. You know, like, they love each other. We gotta fix this. I need to step in here, you know?
Like, she's seen both sides of their marriage now.
Right.
And it's, like, scary how different they are. And then there's a really funny interaction, and I just want to talk through this really quickly. Benedict is talking to Charles Blake and his wife, and they're having this like little fun discussion about like, oh yeah, my husband comes home with paint in all different places, ha 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 ha. And then he has like such an uncomfortable laugh, and then Charles Blake is like pointing out, oh yeah, that's like Lord whatever his name is, and he notices that it's the guy that he was having gay sex with. Like Benedict notices that it's the guy that Charles Blake and him were having gay sex or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, well, sex, whatever.
Sex.
It's not just
Thank
gay
you.
Sex,
yes.
sex. But, anyway, so he's got, he, Charles Blake is like, oh, do you want me to introduce you? And he's like, I'm good. And then he just runs
that
away.
Guy, it's funny, but that guy is talking to Cressida.
It's even better. And I'm like, I noticed that. I'm like, yeah, perfect for Cressida. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't, yeah, Cressida being satisfied is not a goal for us.
No, it's just so funny. He just like, oh, basically, he's like, oh, my mother needs to meet. Bye. I'm not going to talk to that guy. I'm just like, what's wrong with you, Benedict?
I'm going to get pulled into a threesome. That is what his fear is. So the queen then wants to talk to Eloise and discuss Lady Whistledown, wants to get an answer. I tasked you with figuring out who this is. Why aren't you giving me an answer?
And Eloise is kind of like, I'm developing a theory. And she's kind of figuring that out and whatever.
Right.
Then Lady Danbury approaches Daphne and is like, hey, come to a party. And then Daphne's like, oh, cool. Yeah, fine. We'll come. And then she's like, oh, no. Just you. It's just going to be a married women's party. And it's
okay. And Simon's going to...
All right, Lady Danbury.
Hey. And what's interesting to me is that Simon doesn't know that this, like, women's group exists.
It's a women's club.
Well, right. But it's funny to me because, like, he knows Lady Danbury really well. And it's kind of surprising.
I'm not
like,
surprised that Lady Danbury does this on the side.
She's
I'm just so happy.
Right.
I'm happy that she does this on the side. It's so great.
It is. So,
the Featheringtons
show up. And
all
they,
is awkward.
It's super awkward. And so, Penelope goes off, and I want to talk about a little bit separately, but, Violet is just livid with Lady
Featherington.
She doesn't
even look at her.
Right, Lady Featherington, like, acts like she's trying to apologize.
No, Lady Featherington is like, oh my gosh, and she's not even apologizing. No, Lady Featherington goes up to her and is just like, oh. We were fooled too. I had no idea what that little heart, like, what was it? Like, a harlot or a minx?
I can't remember
word. It was definitely not a minx. It was something like that. It was some old tiny hooligan bullshit. I don't know. Anyway, it's just like that person, just that hussy. It was hussy.
Right.
That hussy took us into. She thought she like fooled us too. And Violet does. She knows.
Yeah, Violet.
She knows.
Like,
she's not an idiot.
Stop. You
and
just stop talking.
No. Also, everyone's watching. So
right.
It's kind of like Violet just walks away.
Right. But you know, meanwhile, Eloise kind of drags Penelope off, and
yeah.
Penelope is like, she's still clearly, you know, she's upset about herself, but she's far more upset, and I find this really interesting. She's much more concerned about Colin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asking,
I wonder
about
why.
Colin, right. She's asking about Colin.
It's like, how is he? And she's, and like, Eloise is like, well, the men are usually okay in this situation anyway, so he's doing fine, or whatever.
Right. And
it was a good comment. I think that it wasn't like overdrawn, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, the men are usually fine in this situation. Like, everyone knows that.
Right.
So Colin's fine.
Right. And then they start talking about, because Eloise has a plan. She's like, all right, Lady Whistledown created this issue for your family.
She can take it away.
She can take it away. And we need to uncover who it is. And Penelope's kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Penelope's like, all right.
Whatever.
All right, fine, I guess.
That,
yeah, you do your thing, Eloise, whatever.
Right.
I have other things I'm focusing on, I guess.
But the queen sees the Featheringtons there, and she sees, like, how uncomfortable it is for Violet, and she's like, yeah, get them out of here.
And for everyone. It's not just Violet.
Right,
like,
it was everyone, for sure. But she's kind of like, bye.
After the interaction with Violet, it was just kind of like, yeah, no, bye. And she throws them out.
Right. And Cressida and her mom are, like, super bitchy about, like...
Because of course they are.
Right, right. But it's interesting because Daphne...
shuts her down.
And feels bad for her. It's like, oh, well, you know, they're but for the grace of God kind of thing. You know, she's like, this could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you
should judge yourself first before you judge other people.
Right.
And then she walks away and Simon kind of looks impressed.
Yeah, like, oh, good for you. But again,
but also, take that in your stride, Simon.
Well, I think part
Don't take that in your stride, sorry, no.
But part of what I like about it is that, and it kind of echoes some of the other things you see with the Bridgerton siblings. Like, they're clearly brought up well. Like, yeah. Colin, you know, stepping in to...
They're all very honorable people.
They are. And I didn't mention this when it happened, but... And maybe it'll be a thing in the next season. But that whole... Somebody coming to Penelope's rescue and cutting off Cressida, actually in the books, was Antony.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
I would love to see that.
But it was something that he did, and it got Kate's attention. And so it's very sweet.
Well.
You know, there's time for that. But I like that honorable, I might do some fucked up stuff, but I am deep down a good person thing about all of the Bridgertons. And yeah. I think that says a lot.
And they have really great moments where they do the honorable thing. Like, I feel like all of them have had good moments like that. Daphne had that moment.
She has a couple others in this episode.
Eloise wants to help Penelope. It's less honorable, exactly, but more like she wants to help a friend, and it's really nice. It's a nice moment. Colin obviously is just an honorable person, and he like saves Penelope. He would have been okay with, like, if Marina was up front with him, he would have done the honorable thing. Antony is all honor all the time, and that's kind of a problem. And he's working through it.
Well, I would not say how
well, not all the time.
Sienna is honorable
all the time, but like,
but he does still want to make an effort.
He was going to provide for her if he died, and even when he was alive, he wanted to provide for her, and he wanted to do the honorable thing like that.
Right. And we're gonna see more of that too. So,
yeah.
So let's keep going. But Violet and Daphne, you know, like walks off.
Violet
follows her because she's like,
something's up with
not
my baby girl.
And I need a minute to talk to her alone because, of course, there aren't a whole lot of minutes to talk to your child alone when you have all these kids. So she follows Daphne further into the garden. Mm-hmm. And they talk, and Violet's like, something's gotta be wrong. And
I love this, actually.
I do too. And
what Daphne says is basically, you didn't prepare me for this, and if I was prepared, I would have not been a fool, and I wouldn't have known better.
Right. What she says, and I have this quote. She's
have a quote again.
Yeah, don't get, you know, or are you going to give me more vague metaphors and trite remarks? I didn't know about the reality of marriage. I knew about how to pretend. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what was real, and you didn't tell me. And she's very upset about that.
Yeah.
And she storms off, and Lady Danbury...
heard all of it.
Right. And she knows, right? But she also is kind of like, this is not a one-sided problem. Which we love about Lady Danbury.
Oh, no, she knows it's not Daphne all the time.
Right.
And we get another kind of comment like that, like, later on, which is fantastic. But it's kind of, from a different character. But
right.
We have another thing where it's kind of like, whenever anybody notices the marital issues, it's like, this is both of you, isn't it? It's not just one of you. We know it's not only one of you.
Right. So then Daphne is interesting because, you know, she had come... like, to the defense of the Featheringtons. She goes to the Featheringtons' house, not really to see the Featheringtons, because she really... She doesn't like Lady Featherington.
Which,
let's face it, we don't either.
No.
But she wants to see Marina, and it's not like I like Marina.
I don't either.
But
especially not now.
Right, but one of the things, and I find this an interesting person that she takes under her wing.
It is interesting.
Because she decides that Marina is a little like her. Marina didn't know what sex was.
She seems to have been taken advantage in a similar way.
Right. She didn't know what sex was. She
wasn't prepared.
She was in love. And she found she was a child and alone.
Yeah.
But the language that she uses, again, I find it interesting that she uses this language. It's, you know, Sir George shouldn't determine your future. And, you know, some of that's true, but it's kind of like, he cannot, that Marina shouldn't bear the punishment for his crime. It's like, the crime is a question.
So that's another element. All that's, like, the main thing that was mentioned whenever George was mentioned is the love they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I like that a lot. So when she says crime, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Just because she didn't know about what was going on, everyone has a first time. I don't think that this was necessarily the same situation as you, Daphne.
I don't think
Because she didn't know what was going on doesn't mean she was never necessarily...
Well, and we don't even know that she didn't know what was going on.
No, exactly. We don't know. Like, we don't really know about any of the stuff with Marina, so it's kind of like, well, I don't know. Maybe she knew more than she was letting on. But, like, I feel like she just knew... I feel like she just... She calls herself worldly all the time, even though she's done it once or twice or something like that, and...
We don't know.
She calls herself all this worldly stuff and bullshit, and like.
Well, I mean, she's had a relationship compared to Penelope. Yeah, she.
Yeah, no, compared to Penelope. Yeah, sure. But she also says that with Daphne.
Right, but even compared to Daphne, I mean, prior to her marriage, Daphne.
She didn't know anything about it either. So.
Right, but again, worldliness is, you know, they're only talking about sex, which is very limited.
It's a very small part of the world.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. It's the bedroom.
well, wherever you do it, on the concrete stairs, right. In the forest, against a tree.
Anywhere the mood strikes you, apparently, yeah. Next to the swans.
So basically, Daphne is just like, I'm sorry, and I'm going to search for George. I know that there's a general's wife in town, and she's probably going to go to this meeting of, like, this woman's club that Lady Danbury is going to. I'm going to get the general to look for... I'm going to get her to get the general
to look for George.
So that he can come home or at least have correspondence with you about the situation since he hasn't.
Right. And so...
Which is... I think it's a great idea. I feel like someone should have thought of this earlier. But, like...
Yeah.
I feel like also with Lady Featherington... She didn't even think about that part.
No,
like,
she thought about lying, because that's what she does.
Here's the thing. Yeah, Lady Featherington went straight for, let's forge the letter, instead of being like...
She has this whole elaborate scheme about it.
She has this whole idea. But then, like, she didn't even think about the fact, hey, maybe we should just, like, let her send her letters. If they come back, great, and we're going to get an answer from this guy. Or send her our own letter and be like, hey, this girl is staying with us. We know her condition. Will you take care of her for us, or just take care of her?
Or, like, contact his dad or brother, or whatever.
Nobody thought of this. Even Marina didn't think about, like, asking his family, because I don't know if... I feel like that would be embarrassing for her, but, like,
well,
still...
And we're going to point out some other things about that as we go along. But anyway,
she decides to do that.
They cut to Lord Featherington approaching Will about tanking the fight.
I just wrote down, I don't care about Lord Featherington, but I hate that he is trying to use Will by having him throw the next fight so that he can win a bet.
Yeah. Yeah, and...
I don't care about
Will
him.
Says no, Will almost kills him, which makes me kind of happy.
I wish he killed... No, yeah. I think I wrote... No, I said Will should just kill him for talking to him like that.
Yeah, yeah, that would
have
been fun.
No, because the guy brings up his father.
Yeah.
And being like, he would be disappointed in you. I'm like, bitch. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Also, this guy is a boxer, and even if he wasn't a boxer, he could take your ass, please.
Exactly. I could take
your ass. I've seen those five steps, please.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No,
and
the fact that he even tries that, and I love that Will immediately is just, like, shoving him against a wall, being like, hey, don't talk about my family like
back
that.
Back off, asshole.
I love Will. I love him so much.
I do, too. So... Then we've got Daphne goes to Lady Danbury.
I like the dress that she wears.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, which one is this?
Oh, I didn't write down a description. I just said I liked the dress.
Oh, I like the dress.
No,
I think it was like the end of the series, too. So, yeah.
I think it was like blue and it had like sparkles. I don't know.
Oh, that one. There's one that's like later at the concert.
Yeah, I might get it confused. Either way.
And that was beautiful. All right, so then she goes to Lady Danbury's. Lady Danbury's got, like, this whole gambling, drinking.
I love it. It's like
all the women. Yeah, right.
It's even better than a gentleman's club. The gentleman's club, they just sit around and talk and brood. Where at this one, they're gambling. And I wrote down, Daphne's better at gambling than Lord Featherington.
Yeah, you go, Daphne. So they juxtapose that with Antony at his club.
At the gentleman's club.
And Sienna's with, like, some dude.
No.
Oh,
it's Simon Sienna. It just is someone who looks like Sienna.
Oh God.
At the very beginning, I was about to write down, like, he looks at Sienna and he gets distracted. But no, Antony sees someone that looks like Sienna at the gentleman's club and gets distracted.
Right, and then he needs to drink.
And then he's just like, give me a large glass. I'm like, all
right. Right, so Daphne, meanwhile, is talking to the general's wife.
And another fun fact about this is that, like, it's just a thing I noticed, that at the table is the general's wife, Lady Danbury, Daphne... Charles Blake's wife is there. And I'm like, perfect. This is wonderful.
Well, and of course, Lady Danbury set the tables. So
I love
it's kind of like, yeah,
I
she knows.
That.
I know who you need to talk to, girlfriend.
Yeah, these are the people you
need
to know.
Oh, and by the way, this one knows your brother, Benedict.
That's not even mentioned.
Right, I know, but it's, I it's mean, so you, subtle. You know, it's like it was edited out or something. You, this one is biblical with your brother Benedict.
Oh, my God.
So... So they are playing, they're gambling. Daphne's talking to the general's wife, and the general's wife is kind of like all like blasé about her
relationship.
Like, oh, my husband's gone all the time. It's pretty freaking awesome.
No, I love it. I love that we have separate lives.
Yeah, right. And so,
she's seeing, and Daphne's seeing a side of like, oh, this is what marriage could be for her and Simon, and she doesn't really like it.
No, this was not what she bought into. And, you know, like, you notice that she didn't know any of this existed. Violet doesn't go to these.
No.
This is not her mom's milieu.
This is Lady Danbury's milieu.
Yeah,
and
right.
I love it.
Well, I will say this, and it's more of a book thing, but Lady Danbury... by this time is widowed, her children have all grown and gotten married
surprised.
And stuff like that.
And so, I kind of assume that anyway.
Right, so she's like...
she got nothing else to do. Might right. as well have a women's club.
Right, have a women's club. Do whatever I feel like. So, yeah.
So, yeah, the general and his wife have a sucky marriage where they basically don't do anything together. They have children, and they just live separate lives, and she likes it like that.
Right, and Daphne's like, well, don't the kids miss him? And she's kind of like, how can you miss something you've never known?
It's so sad
right.
to think
it
about.
Really
and
is.
That's not what Daphne wants.
Right, and she certainly doesn't want it for her kids.
Absolutely not.
So you can see her processing, and again, that's a good acting thing on the actress's part.
Yeah.
So we've got
that, and then we go back.
To Anthony.
Okay, Anthony. This is the other comment I was talking about, where he's just like, "Yeah, want to tell me what's going on with you and my sister?" And then Simon's just kind of like, "Well, what do you mean?" And it's just like, see, I know my sister. Like, she's very honorable.
No, she's a very capable
woman. She's a very capable woman. She can do her own thing and whatever. And, like, I know her, and she wouldn't intentionally do something that will really hurt you.
No.
Or,
love the language so much. So, when he says this, she's a very capable woman, but even she isn't capable of fucking things up this royally.
I love it.
And it's kind of like, yeah, you go.
And it's just like, yeah, I love that. I feel like, obviously, Antony's not really looking at it where, like, she's done anything wrong, but obviously, he doesn't know the whole story, but, like, I love that he sticks up for his sister and is just like, hey, what did you do to fuck this up?
Well, right, and he knows both of them.
Yeah, I think he knows, especially considering Simon's reputation as a rake and that kind of stuff. He has no idea what's going on between him and his sister, but he has an idea, and it's his worst fear, and he's worried that that's what's going on within their marriage. And that Simon's being a dick, and he is, but
not necessarily in the way he's thinking, but
he's still kind of like, hey, I know you're doing something wrong, and it's affecting your marriage with my sister, and I want her happy, so fix it.
Right, and so Simon basically starts talking about, oh, it must be so hard to be perfect. It's such an effort for me to even watch you.
Whatever.
And then
I literally wrote down, Simon, just tell someone about your stupid vow.
Well,
like,
right.
Tell somebody. I don't care if it's Anthony. It needs to be someone like Daphne. Tell fucking Daphne.
Right.
I don't think even Lady Danbury knows. Like, please, tell somebody.
Well, right, so then...
justify anything. Like, I mean, it's not a great justification, but it's a justification that would make you look like a little bit less of a... Well, actually, no, it still makes you look like a really... you're such a dick. But,
right.
Like,
Anthony talks to Simon and tells him, like, he's had no example of how to lead a household.
And he has a good point.
Right, but then Simon's like, oh, you're doing a great job, buddy.
And I'm like, bitch, please don't.
And then it is on.
No, Simon literally says that Anthony's father is looking down from heaven and he's very disappointed in him.
Yeah.
And how he's, quote unquote, running his household considering all of the, like, scandal and all of the bullshit that's been going on. And so... Simon,
all right.
Why'd you gotta do that, dude? Like,
right.
Really?
Well, but then, of course, it leads to what you would expect, because neither one of these guys...
Because they don't know how to channel their rage.
Now, I will say that the filming of this was kind of annoying, because they did this, like, accelerated, you know, fight scene, and it's kind of like, okay, that's not great. Not that, like, a fight scene was totally appropriate, but the way they accelerated it made it kind of stupid.
The way they shot it, yeah.
Right. But then you can tell that Simon just, like, feels good about getting it out of his system. Like, oh,
yeah.
I needed to beat Anthony for sure.
Don't we all?
I feel better.
I mean, Don't we all? We all need that moment.
Yeah.
We need to all beat Anthony up.
Right. And so, juxtaposing that with, I use that word a lot. I need to find another one.
It's Daphne. I've only used it twice.
Today. Daphne had been taking it for Marina, and she had talked to the general's wife about, we need to contact your husband.
And the general's wife was like, hey, contact him yourself directly, whatever.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's better than through his wife, and which is kind of sad. Right. And then she comes home from the soiree.
Right, and she's feeling good about having stood up for Marina. So both of them are kind of feeling like,
yeah, we got something out of our system. Good.
Yeah,
and so she looks through the bedroom door, and she sees that Simon is tending to his wounds. She doesn't even ask any questions about what the hell happened. I think she understands what happened. I think she knows.
Well, no, I think Simon like volunteers, I was fighting with Will and things got carried away. It's like,
she's like, yeah, sure.
Sure, whatever.
obviously, like, Will's not going to fuck you up like that, I don't think.
Right. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, Daphne basically starts tending to his wounds. It's like, I have a lot of brothers, like, let me take care of it. I know what I'm doing.
Right. And she clearly does. She's very gentle with him. And
it's a cute moment.
Right. And he kisses her.
It's cute and so gentle. I said it's they kiss and it's a cute moment if you forget the marital strife.
Well, right. But she's like, why won't you just open yourself up or unfold yourself, I think is the term she used to
me. And then I wrote down, Simon, just tell her, in all caps. And then he does. Kind of. Well, he does. He does kind of.
Kind of.
He's basically like, I made a vow to my father that my father was he cared about an heir more than my mother, more than me, more than anything in the world. He cared only about continuing the Hastings line. And I made a vow to him on his deathbed. Well, no, he doesn't say deathbed yet. He does later, and it's great. And he's just like, I swore to him that I would not father any children, and I would never marry, and I would not continue the Hastings line to spite him. And she's just like, what?
Well, and she's also like, you made a vow to me too. And you made this vow to a guy who's now dead. So what?
When he says deathbed, she's like, oh yeah, he's not even walking the earth anymore. Why are you trying to prove something to him? He's not even here.
Right, right. So he's like, you swore to him. I swore to him on his deathbed. And she's like, you betrayed me in our marriage bed. Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm just like, I wrote down, like, Daphne has every right to be upset because he's being stupid. Because it is stupid. He needs to stop living in the past and focus on his future. And if he wants a future with kids, and Daphne, you gotta do it now, and if you want a happy future. And that's the thing. She's like, you gave up all of your future happiness you could have with me to spite your father, and now you're gonna live unhappily in our marriage. We're both gonna be unhappy. You're gonna make everyone unhappy because you want to spite your father who made you unhappy.
Right, right. And then she uses this term. She says, we can either be miserable together or perfectly happy apart. Which, again, it's like,
I mean, what?
Right, I mean, it's kind of like, that's the choice.
Why is that the choice?
Right, exactly. And I think that's her point. It's like, you know, this is just dumb, and you've created it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, snap out of it, you moron, right?
No, yeah, she was like, she doesn't think his affection is enough to break the vow that he made to his dead father who hated him and had no affection towards him.
Right.
And so, yeah, no, that's not good, and it's annoying.
Right, your hatred of him is greater than your affection for me.
And it's bullshit.
And of course, he doesn't use, I mean, he said he burns for her or something. He doesn't use the term love with her very much.
He doesn't.
And I think that,
and burn can also mean lust and attraction and
right,
stuff.
Right, and I will say this, the books, and I do like this kind of construct in the books, a lot of them are about that post-marriage figuring out what love really is, like the day-to-day thing. It's not all, hey, we got to the altar, yay.
Yeah, most of them stories end at the honeymoon you have the honeymoon phase and then nothing else, and you don't have to overcome any obstacles after you're married. Everything's fine.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Fine.
Happily ever after.
And that's kind of like the story that is shoved down our throats in general, like in society. It's just like, yeah, once you get married, everything's fine. So get married.
It's just it's true if you are truly committed, if you're Violet Bridgerton.
Well, no,
committed.
Even then, like, and this is mentioned, like, I think in the next episode, but, like, even then, even if you're just completely in love and committed and trust in them and they communicate and whatever, there's still going to be obstacles.
It's work every day.
Yeah.
We are going to get to that because it is a theme through all of these, but it is something that is expressed by Violet.
It's expressed especially in this season, and it's part of the reason why I'm kind of annoyed by the second season.
We will talk about that too. I know we are,
and I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying that. Right. Anyway, Daphne sends a letter to the...
There's a montage.
Yeah. Daphne sends a letter to the... Great. Daphne sends a letter to the general.
Right.
This montage pisses me off. I forgot.
All right, so there's Lady Danbury and she's got the party hangover, which I actually like her little turban on her head.
It's fun. Very cute. It's cute. This is the part that really pisses me off. So there's a montage of seeing Daphne and Simon throughout the house. Daphne, so they're like on the stairs or whatever. They're about to meet in the middle or whatever. And then Simon looks like he's about to like talk to Daphne. Daphne walks away and he is like, fine. And then, no, this is what pisses me off. So when then they pass in the hall, it's a more narrow hall. You can't really avoid like looking at them or whatever. So they're about to pass through the hall. Daphne looks like she's about to talk to Simon. He just keeps moving past her. Then she gets offended. I'm like, girl, you just did the same thing to him. And I'm just like, girl, this is the part that really pisses me off about Daphne. It's like, you get offended when this happens to you.
It's a double standard.
I'm like, girl, please, you're doing the exact same thing to him.
Right, exactly. And then that clearly is a thing. Daphne sends a letter to the general. Lord Featherington's card is something Will is looking at. Mm-hmm. And Marina is like checking to see, hey, is there a baby? I'm not feeling that anything's moving. Kind of thing. She's touching
her stomach. Touching it, but I mean, like, she's like.
She doesn't feel anything. And so she's kind of like, yeah, well, we got to make sure, like, well, it comes up again later. So Daphne and Simon are not looking at each other, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And then Daphne wakes up in the morning. And she moves. She gets up. She moves the. She's inside. Nothing's there.
And first she's kind of all, thinking,
the courses, as she puts it, don't only come at night.
Well, and the courses, as she puts it, do whatever they want.
Yeah, they come whenever. Like, you can't control that. Yeah, I wish you could, but no, you can't. Anyway, she's just like real. She gets all high and mighty about like, oh. They're not here. And I'm just like.
Simon sees her checking and he's kind of like, oh, they're not here. I guess we have to. We gotta stick him out.
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't know any better. So it's just
Here's the other part of it. He's gonna stick it out with her if she's pregnant. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's what you really want.
Yeah. So just be happy.
Right.
It without the pregnancy either. You should just do it either way. Just stick it out.
I'm going to stick it out. And he's like, all right, I'm going to have to get my shit together and I'm going to be a parent.
Now you want to do it, Simon. Jesus Christ.
Right. But it's just so freaking weird. And again, that whole sequence is very different in the books. And I guess I'll talk about that later, but whatever. It is a different thing. So
it pisses me off. Anyway.
Right. So Penelope and Eloise start talking about Lady Whistledown again.
Eloise starts thinking, hey, maybe it's a tradesperson.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
I really don't care about her theories. Yeah, I really don't.
It's just like, oh, okay.
Especially in the second, like, watch through, because we know who it is. I'm just like, I don't care. And neither does Penelope. Penelope doesn't care.
Right.
And she's just kind of, like, sitting around just like, okay, great. And then she's like, all right, I'm gonna leave now.
Right. So,
that's a very brief scene.
Right. Daphne goes to Marina and asks and tells her, hey, I sent a letter.
And then she's like, great, so did the Duke sign it too? And then Daphne's like, well, no. And then Marina's like, well, he's not going to answer you.
Right, and you're just like, a woman.
I'm like, and then she's like, but I'm a duchess. And it's just like, but he's still not going to pay attention to you. And it's just like, then she talks about how she's like not worldly or whatever. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, girl? Marina, you are not the be all and end all.
You clearly did. Like,
clearly.
Yeah, no, seriously.
If you knew more, you wouldn't be pregnant, girlfriend.
Well, if you knew more, you wouldn't be in any of these situations now, would you?
Right, but she's like, oh, my life is over kind of thing. Like, no one's going to respond to that. My life is over.
And, first of all, you haven't even received a response.
Right, but you know, the only positive I can say about Marina at this point is she does thank Daphne for writing the letter.
She does say.
She doesn't do it nicely or well, but she says it. And so I guess that's something.
Then Anthony
and Colin drinking. Oh,
But Anthony apologizes to Colin.
He does.
And then Colin's like, has the world frozen
the
over.
End of days. Are we at the end of days now?
Have the locusts come? Have the streets filled with blood? Are you apologizing to me? And he's just like,
Don't pressure your luck, buddy.
Yeah, seriously, it's so funny. I love Bridgerton boys. I love them.
Yes, and so he doesn't give a really great apology, and Colin calls him out, and is like, yeah. Dude.
Really, that's your apology, dude? And it's just like, well, stop doing stupid stuff, or whatever.
Right, it's like, but then he talks about, oh, well, you're going to forget, and again, it's like you were talking about, Antony's giving this speech of, well, you're going to forget about her, and it's going to be fine.
And it's all about Sienna, because of course it is, and he's just using this as a therapy session.
Right, which, you know, people do.
With Colin, obviously, that's what he's there for.
But people do it in real life.
You could do that with Francesca just as well, but fine.
Because she's in Bath.
Send a letter, I don't care. Anyway, do you have anything else to say about the boys?
Well, but Colin does say he knows that, like, he acknowledges this idea that he will forget Marina, but he just feels like... Yeah, it strikes him as false, right? Yeah. Like, especially Antony talking about it. It's like, well, how's that working out for you? He calls him out on it. He's like, how's that working out for you? And he's like, we'll see. You know? Not about me right now.
Yeah, this isn't about me. What do you think about? What are you talking about?
Look the other way.
And then this is a really cute moment. Yeah. Violet helps Eloise get ready for the concert that they're all going to. Oh. And Violet is just, she's putting Eloise in the dress, and Eloise is kind of uncomfortable, and she's just
she looks beautiful.
And yeah, she does. And Violet's just like, so I know that we're kind of rushing into this, and I really don't want to rush you. If you want to wait a little bit longer for your debut, I totally understand, and I will back you up on that. I don't want to rush you at all. And then Eloise is just kind of like, the queen's going to be there tonight. It's going to be really exciting. I'm really excited.
Right. And Violet actually uses some of the terms that Daphne used. She's like, I don't want you to pretend.
Yeah.
You know, if we're rushing you, you need to
just tell me.
Right.
And I feel like she's learned from Daphne that she needs to make sure that her children are prepared. She's doing it in an interesting way. I feel like she should just give all the kids the talk. But not all the kids, but like certainly like her, yeah, like middle aged.
I will point this out in the books. Daphne like kind of takes that over, and she's like, "I'm not letting my sisters go through
this." I wish she did that. That's great. I love that idea. It makes sense. Anyway, so she doesn't want to rush Eloise, but Eloise is like, "Well, I'm gonna go to the concert. I need to talk to the queen. I'm just gonna go through it."
Yeah, I've got a note here about Daphne thinks something I can't read.
Oh, no.
She might be showing, yeah.
No, I pointed this out. We were watching this live, obviously. We were watching it together. Mm-hmm. And we see Daphne, like, after the Eloise thing, it's really cute, whatever. And then you see Daphne looking in the mirror, and she's putting her hand and, like, rubbing her stomach or whatever. I'm like, girl, you're not showing. Girl, first of all, even if you've missed your period, how long has it been? It's not even gonna show like in a couple weeks. Like, give it a rest. And she's like, do you feel the baby kicking, Daphne? Jesus Christ, of course it's not there.
Pregnancy is a very interesting and weird thing, and hormonal and all of those things. So touching your stomach, even if
that's a natural thing.
If you're not
happens.
Showing or you don't think you can feel anything, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like,
well, no, yeah.
Going on. Things are going on. You know,
I'm aware of that, but Daphne like makes it look the way that she's doing it makes it look like she's like, she's caressing the baby bump. I'm like, no, you're not. There is nothing there. That's your food. Don't even start, Daphne. And no, that's your corset.
She's having a food baby.
No, that's her corset.
Well, and Simon sees her doing this,
and he's kind of like, ready to go, and she's like, fine.
and then they go to the concert. You use this term, and I just love this so much.
What did I say?
It's Cressida the beard for Charles.
I forgot I said that.
First of all, it was a kinder term than what I grew up with, so you know.
Yeah, we're gonna go with beard. It seems to me that like whenever the guy who was with Charles Blake, just talking to Cressida, I'm like, yeah, she's gonna be his beard, and it's gonna be amazing. It's what she deserves at this point. A sham of a marriage. Like, with no love. Like, it's just gonna be whatever it's gonna be. And that's just... I don't say that. I want the best for everybody, but Cressida's such a bitch that I'm
She doesn't really deserve it. So
She doesn't really... It's not like she would know the difference anyway, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, so Benedict asks what... about... like to, he asks Charles Blake, hey, what, how does this work?
right. And so
it's a great speech.
The conversation is really interesting and it is great, but I noticed, and this is just one of those subtle things that actually comes up in the next season, that Benedict on his collar has a bee embroidered on it, which is a Bridgerton thing, which is kind of like,
we'll talk about that later.
But Charles, and he uses great language with this too. So
he has
Charles,
a great speech.
And I'm going to call him Charles because it's a thing.
Yeah, no, we already established
points
this.
Points out that Benedict never takes risks for love or honor. Mm-hmm. He's all talk. And I love that, you know, he's like, I'm doing it. I'm living it. What are you doing?
I have love. I have this amazing love. We have to hide it, but I'm willing to do that as long as it keeps both of us safe. And it's a great speech about, like, being courageous and taking those risks and having to hide in this society. And it's sad to me that this is not, like, it's a great speech. It's still kind of true for some people, and it's really sad to me that they feel like they have to hide that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, and take those kinds of risks and feel like it's a risk.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we go to the Queen and Eloise. Basically, the Queen's like, hey, I'm going to gather my own squad to, like, figure this out because you're not doing anything.
Well, right. She talks about the Bow Street Runners, which are a very famous, you know, they kind of predated all of the other police forces.
I just called them the Scotland Yard.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Bow Street Runners were actually a thing.
Okay.
And so she's like, I've hired the Bow Street Runners to run down and shut down.
Lady Whistledown. Whatever that entails.
Right.
And so
and Eloise is like, wait.
Well, maybe it's a
shut her down.
Hey, what about this? And then she, because Eloise still wants her to print a retraction for the Featheringtons to not be ruined. And, like, that's going to work at this point, but it's good intentions anyway. But then Eloise leaves, and then...
Eloise leaves with Benedict.
No, I was getting there.
I'm sorry.
Eloise leaves the box, and then she runs into Benedict, and, like, she's like, how long is this going to be? And Benedict's like, three, four hours. And then she's like, ugh. And it's like, but I kind of want to leave. And then she's like, you're my favorite brother. You know that? I love the interactions.
Right, they're so cute. And I will say this, too. Eloise, and she is... really a beautiful the actress obviously is beautiful,
obviously everyone's gorgeous,
right, but she looks so amazing.
She looks fantastic in the dress,
in the dress and the hair and all that stuff. I think she's got is it flowers for this one, is it flowers in the next one? I can't
it's
remember
it's flowers in the next one.
But she's got like a tiara on. It's really really
it's beautiful.
And she looks amazing, especially she looks amazing kind of running away. So they run away from the cousin because she's got this trailing, sheer, beautiful train. It's lovely.
Anyway, so they get in the carriage and they're riding back and Benedict stops and he's like, hey, I want to pick somebody up. He's going to pick up the modiste. And the modiste goes in and it's very awkward because like Eloise is just kind of staring at them.
Hi. No, you skipped a part though.
I'm talking about the awkward small talk.
I'm talking about Marina, the part you skipped.
Well, I skipped it because it's more of a part later on, in the episode where it's actually you get the context.
All right, fine.
It's kind of like the moment
they're cutting back and forth between Marina and this. So.
Yeah, so there's an awkward carriage ride, and they're talking, and then, and she's like, oh yeah, basically half the town was there, but I didn't have a single, thing to say to any of them. And then the modiste says, well, everybody in the town except for the Featheringtons, and then Eloise has a revelation.
Yeah,
how
Eloise
does she know that?
She knows!
First of all, they didn't ask her to make a concert dress, but they're also broke right now, but it's not neither here nor there, but... the modiste would probably know this just because they've been, they were run out of the, garden party. Why would they
be
invited to
the
concert?
Like, everyone else reads Whistledown.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
And so, but either way, Eloise thinks that Lady Whistledown is the modiste. I mean, it's not the worst idea. When I first watched this, before I found out who it was, I was like, that's not the worst idea. I feel like it would make sense.
Right. It's not the worst idea, other than the time thing. Like, she's making these gorgeous dresses. Who has time?
Yeah, exactly. Who's time for this?
Right.
No one has time for this.
Right. So we cut back to the
concert. And Anthony is looking at Sienna, and he's jealous because she's with another man, and she's holding his hand.
I gotta say this about Jonathan Bailey, the actor that
plays
Anthony.
He's fantastic.
The
longest stares are everything.
Right. I mean, he's got such an intense romantic kind of stare. And it comes up more even in the next episode.
It's basically, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. He does a great job.
He's so good. I love Jonathan Bailey. He's fantastic. Great. And then I wrote down, I don't care, it's boring.
It's Vivaldi's soundtrack. It's beautiful.
I'm not saying the music's boring. I'm just saying the longing stares because I don't care about the relationship is boring.
Okay, so then Simon, while they're listening to the music, and it's lovely, Simon...
This is where they cut back to Marina and we get context.
Oh. Well, I thought that was after.
Well, we can talk about it.
All right, fine.
We can talk about it after. Well, okay. No, it's now.
Oh, okay, fine.
Anyway, so Marina is making a tea that will get rid of the baby.
An herbal tea to...
Like that's gonna work.
Right, and, you know, it's kind of like, it's just...
First of all, how did she learn this? How did she figure this out? Like, she's so worldly, she figured it out. Like, where'd you get this from?
She asked somebody, like a servant or somebody, whatever. But then they cut back to Simon is holding Daphne's hand at the concert.
And then there's a great acting moment from Phoebe Denevar because she's watching the concert. They're holding hands. It's cute and whatever. And she's kind of content and whatever. She thinks that maybe their marriage is going to work because now that she thinks she's pregnant, everything's fine. And then the courses come.
Right. And she feels it. And she's like,
she has this moment where she kind of becomes a little bit breathless. You can see her eyes widen a bit. And Simon slightly notices it as well. And he's just like, what's going on?
Okay, what's going
Violet
on?
Violet notices as well.
Violet's like in a box somewhere.
Violet's watching.
Hall.
Because she knows something's going on in their relationship and she wants to check on her. And so she rushes away and she goes into the
Daphne does.
Yeah, right. Daphne rushes away. She goes into a separate room and she pulls her hand away and she sees there's blood.
Right, and then she has to use every handkerchief, napkin.
She finds a napkin and that's how she wipes it away. It's not on her hand. Right. And she looks at it and there's blood and she's just so devastated.
Right.
And then we cut back to Marina and Penelope.
Who is deliberately trying to make this happen, right?
Yeah, and so Penelope's gonna check on her. She wants to talk. Penelope knocks on her door, she opens it, and she sees that Marina's on the floor. She's collapsed.
Right.
And she's holding her in her arms, and she's calling for help, and it's really dramatic and all that stuff. And maybe the baby's gone, we don't know. And then we go back to Daphne, and Daphne is crying, and Violet comes in.
Right, I forgot to mention, her dress, Daphne's dress, is
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It's glittery beautiful.
It's ruined by the blood, though. I'm assuming. I don't know how many undergarments there are. Anyway, so Daphne's crying. Violet comes in and she's just holding her. She doesn't even know what's going on, but she's holding her because that's what a good mother does. And you end on, you see Simon and then you hear Daphne's crying in the background.
Right, you don't even hear music anymore. Like, he is so focused on, he can hear that. He knows
what happened. And you see his, gaze harden because he knows what happened. And now he feels like he needs to live a separate life from his wife now.
Which, of course, is...
Bullshit.
Dumb.
bullshit.
It's just dumb. It really is. It's dumb.
Yeah.
And so, again, you've got that juxtaposition of the, wanting to lose an actual child as opposed to...
Not wanting
losing
to.
The hope of a child.
Yeah.
And it is really sad.
It is.
So, were there other acting things that you thought were good? I agree that, Phoebe Denimore...
Did so good.
Yeah, she did really so good.
Jonathan Bailey had some great longing stares in there. And that's going to be really important later on in this season and the next, because that's all he gets. Anyway. I feel like those are the biggest ones. I love Marina's actress. I just hate the character right now. She's doing a great job.
Yeah,
because Colin did fantastic in this episode. He had to be so heartbroken. It was really sad. Violet did fantastic, obviously. She always does.
Yeah,
I think everybody does an amazing job, but those are the ones that stood out to me.
Okay. From a literary perspective, in the book, after the incident from the last episode, and I wanted to add this because it just is kind of an aside about the whole... what happened in their bedroom. It struck me, and it was something I meant to mention, I forgot, is that when it came right down to it, if Simon wanted to, he could just remove Daphne. I mean, like...
And I mentioned that there could be a shock element to it where he was just kind of petrified. But, I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Right. I mean, if he was, like, really, oh, my gosh, we can't be, like, having me climax or whatever. Like, there's something you could have done. But
either way.
Leaving it aside.
What's done is done.
Right. And in the book, that whole sequence is very... It's different, and it's possibly... worse.
No, I heard it's worse.
Yeah, it's
from worse. What I heard, it is worse.
And I don't necessarily want to go into all of it here, but what his response to it is like, you did this to me, he stutters, and then he takes off to some other property he owns to go and, like, do business.
I like that he stays.
Right, right. And so she then is like, fuck it, I'm going to London.
No, that makes
and
sense.
And they're apart for, like,
oceans
weeks.
Apart.
Yeah, they're
that's
apart,
ridiculous.
Apart for weeks. And Antony actually goes down to whatever this other property is and is like,
Driving him back. What is going on with you?
Like,
I don't like that they're separated for weeks. Like,
right.
I like this better. I like the way that the showrunners did. Obviously, there's a time frame that you have to stay in. But...
Right, and again, there's character development that happens with this that it's different.
I definitely prefer it.
But, you know, the visual, I think, is definitely better. There is, and I do want to find this before we get to that last episode, there's a part in the book where all of the boys kind of are like, all right, Simon, you gotta get
your shit. I love it.
And I love the bros so much. It's actually
best,
like
the
really
bros, the
well,
boys.
And then like Violet comes in and she's like, "Boys,
I love it.
Behave yourselves." kind of thing. It's very funny.
Yeah.
But with this, I felt like the show did a really good job. It does have these more modern themes in it.
But I think in this episode, I feel like those modern themes were better integrated in them than in the past. Like, the whole thing
more
about
organic.
Charles Blake was really integrated well. The whole thing about Pete
Blaine. Like, Charles Blake totally doesn't exist in the books.
Regardless. the whole thing with Marina and, like, whose fault it was and whatever, that kind of, the blame
right.
in the situation, I'm glad they brought it up.
Right.
And it's subtle and that kind of stuff. I feel like that was integrated much better.
Right.
And then previous episodes, that kind of stuff.
So what was your favorite part?
I mean, I love the Bridgerton bros. I love Antony and Colin's talk. I wrote down that Simon finally reveals what's going on to Daphne just because I'm relieved that it's out there. I don't love the moment because of what happens, because it's an idiotic, like, thing that he's doing. But, I mean, I like that he finally reveals it to her. I don't think it's my favorite moment, but I think... the little moments between the siblings, I liked.
Yeah.
That's the best I can do for this episode.
Right, so mine basically was Daphne's emotional growth. There's a lot of characterization that goes on with Daphne as far as her, you know, branching out beyond her family. Because
yeah.
I think that, you know, most of what has happened with her has been family-oriented. She also, you know, she comes to the defense of Marina, whom she... feels is like, you know, she has no one to champion her.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that she is that person. Like, she kind of steps in on that, in that way. So I liked that. And I like her, the way she's trying to talk it through. Like, she's trying to fight for Simon, too. Like,
yeah.
I love you, damn it. Get
Please
your
tell
shit
me
together.
What's going
yeah.
on and get your shit together. I
right.
do like that, yeah.
Right. And so I really liked seeing her not give up on him.
Yeah. Well... until she has to, because it's ridiculous.
Well, but she...
like, she doesn't entirely give up on him, but
she's
like,
just so
she's
frustrated.
So fed up, and
yeah,
I don't blame
so
her.
Frustrated, yeah. What was your worst?
Simon being a doofus is what I wrote down. Basically, whenever he's being a dick. Whenever he doesn't tell her what's going on, and whenever he's being distant from her, and well, same with Daphne, whenever she's being distant from him because she's just being retaliating at this point, but there's kind of a reason because she's retaliating, but like, still, I feel like
there's
so much pettiness in it. I'm a very petty person when it comes down to it, but I hate watching it, and so
you will realize this is not the way life should be.
No. And then the other one was Lord Featherington trying to force Will into something that he doesn't want to do, because I love Will and I hate Lord Featherington, and I wish he would
fair.
Die
that's fair
so
my worst was the whole Whistledown subplot. lot. I am so done. Oh, at this point, I'm like, and the queen. I don't care.
Well, now it's kind of done because the queen, like the whole thing with the queen and Eloise trying to track it down, it kind of gave Eloise's like mission kind of a purpose, but it still kind of bored me anyway.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, please, really.
Yeah.
So that was kind of boring to me. How did you grade this episode?
I'm kind of stuck between two. I put down a B-, but I'm kind of... Now that I'm thinking about it, this episode made me so angry that I might go C+.
Right. So I went back and forth on the grade for this because this is my least favorite.
I'm going C+. Sorry.
Yeah. This is my least favorite episode of this season for sure. I actually wrote down D. Which...
And you know what? Honestly, might go C- at this point because I'm so pissed.
Yeah, and I hate that because there are some really good acting moments in this, and there are some good relationship moments.
There's always going to be good acting moments in this show. That's the
problem. Because you got great actors,
right? But I hate the storylines that are going on right now.
Right.
And so I'm going C-.
Right. So I might actually stick with my... I might come up to a C-. Yeah, I might.
You don't have to. I'm just going down.
Right. I'm frustrated with the subplots and the cutting back and forth and the everything.
Yeah, when the Marina thing was cutting back and forth, I was like, oh my god. And later on, it's just like, I don't care. Right. I really don't, because I hate Marina. Right. I really hate her right now. I really hate her. No, I don't stop hating her, actually. Never mind. I just hate Marina.
All right, so we really, and you know, as a podcast, we really want you to tune in to see how this season resolves, because you know, things do get resolved in this season.
Eventually.
And that's part of what is good about this show, is that it's not like all, oh my
gosh,
a cliffhanger.
It's not a cliffhanger kind of show. It wants to keep
it contained.
It has
a little bit, but again,
for subplots, but not necessarily for the main plot.
Right, and I think one of the things that this does well is that it, you know, because it is a family and life and whatever, it is what it's reflecting, it keeps on going, right?
Yeah. It never ends.
Yeah, the stories don't end. So, I think that kind of whole premise works really well for a series like this.
Yeah.
I also want to let our listeners know that, you know, we do love this show.
Oh, we do. We do.
Episode,
it just,
like,
it makes us
amazing.
Upset sometimes because we're so passionate about it.
Right, because we really, you know, are invested in the characters. So,
yeah.
So next episode
is season 1 episode 8, After the Rain.
After the Rain. And so,
and it's the season finale.
Right. So,
and then we're moving on to season 2.
Yay! Although we might take a tiny break, like a week or two.
Maybe a bit of a break. Yeah.
A bit of a break.
Cuz we are busy people. This is not our full-time job.
Oddly, cuz not getting paid. So, but we are having beverages and that's
like
good. We
are having fun.
We are
having the whole fun.
And we're having family, and that's really pretty awesome.
We are having family.
Being family, that thing. All right, so please tune in and join us for our discussion of season 1, episode 8 of Bridgerton.
Cheers.